Are you waving at me? Oh, I thought you were, you started waving at me wildly all of a sudden. I was like, well, hi, Carol. Hi, Carol. Hi, everybody. Hey, kids. It's Rabbi Joe. Howdy. Hey, welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministry. And I'm waving at Carol back there because she was waving at me. Anyway, I want to welcome you all to For Zion's Sake Ministries. And this is my lovely wife, Dawn. And we have lovely Diane over here in the corner and helping us with worship. And we have the Lord has a great service for you. Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us today. And I want to welcome everybody in the house. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. His day is the Sabbath. That's the day that he made holy and set it apart from all other days. And he blessed the Sabbath day, and he said that he would give us a double portion on the Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. And he made Sabbath for man, for you and me. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise Amen. God. So there's a lot of things about the Sabbath that are pretty cool that the world doesn't know about. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're going to start, and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you forgive us our sins and where we fall short. Your word says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, and just pour out your spirit and bless us. Visit us here in this service today. In the name of Yeshua, we bind the enemy, and we just thank you, Lord, that you come in with your Shekhinah glory. In Yeshua's name. We have some guests if somebody wants to greet them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Shalom, friends. How are you? Come on, welcome. Come on in. We get going a little slowly around here. It's Southern time. All right, let's go.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men, watchmen over Jerusalem. Day and night they will never keep silent, calling Jerusalem. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. Clear the way for the people. Build up a highway. Remove the stones. Lift up a standard. Behold, salvation comes.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
See your glory revealed in you, a kingdom of priests.
All right, let's bless the Messiah, Yeshua, who's holding the torch of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu ederech HaYeshua, the Messiah, Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua.
Amen. Mishkan Teva Yisrael, how goodly thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru. I guess it's on the screen.
On the screen.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Page 45.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
B'nei Yisrael,
Oti le'olam. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, eshamayim ve'aretz. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shevi shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Sing, O say shalom.
O say shalom, Bimrom. O ya say shalom, Aleinu, Be'amcho Israel, Bimru, Bimru. Shalom aleinu, be'am kol Yisrael, be'imru, amen. Yaseh shalom.
Places make peace for Israel and for all mankind, and say, Amen.
We're going to pray for Israel at this time. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Kol Yisrael, all Israel, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the blinders, the scales from the eyes of my Jewish people, Lord, of our Jewish people, and that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah, Lord. Many have, thousands have, Lord, but we pray for more of them would come to know their Messiah, Lord, because that's what shalom means, is peace in every heart. Peace with the Messiah is true shalom. That's what peace is. It's not the absence of war necessarily, it's the absence. It's when the Messiah is in every heart, then there won't be war. There will be war no more, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and so forth. So thank you, Father, that you do that, that you save our people. And I pray, Lord, for wisdom for the leaders of Israel. I pray for Aliyah, Lord. I pray that you would open the gates for Aliyah. Open the gates of righteousness, Lord. Part the sea for Messianic believers and Christians who love Israel and the Jewish people to be able to make Aliyah, to move to Israel and to gain citizenship, Lord. We pray that for that day that you would change the laws and remove, we say to the mountain that stands in our way, be thou removed and cast to the sea. We ask, Lord, that you would remove all the people who are hindering and the spirit that's hindering us from our citizenship, and because they don't realize that we're the best friends they have, Lord. We're the truest, most real friends that they have, and they don't even know it, especially Messianic Jews. So we just pray that. We pray, Lord, for the Messianic rabbis today here in America as they lead their congregations. I pray for a spirit of boldness. I pray, I bind the fear of man. Lord, I pray that they would speak according to their prophetic Jewish calling, to speak the word of truth and be the missing link that the church needs for so many centuries, Lord, that our rabbis would preach that word, that missing word that's been absent from the message of the gospel. I pray they would not fear man or tithes and things like that, Lord, but that they would be bold and preach in power and wisdom from above. Father, I pray for our executive leadership, that you give Joel Chernoff and the executive committees I pray that you would give them vision. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the plan to lead us into these waters that we're treading into now. This starting, you know, really for this week that we've started to tread into now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, if there be one amongst them. And I pray that you would bring in the spirit of Eliakim, according to Isaiah 22, amongst our executive leadership, Lord, that there would be a spirit of humility, spirit of fatherhood, and a spirit of mentoring of the rabbis. Lord, I pray for my family. I pray for their salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would send people into their lives to share the love of Yeshua, to share the gospel, to share prophecy, to share messianic prophecy with all of our people in the diaspora and the exile, that you would remove the scales from our eyes, Lord, and that they would see their Messiah as I have seen him, Lord, that they would come to know Yeshua HaNotzri, Jesus of Nazareth, as their Messiah, Father. And I just pray, Lord, for resolution. I pray that your will be done in this election. Pray, Lord, that the man who chooses life and the man who supports Israel will win this election, Lord. I pray that the man who stands with Israel and the man who chooses life will win this election, as I have been saying for 4 years that he would win two terms. Actually, he did win, but it was taken away from him. Well, they're trying to take it away from him. So, but he did win, and I said he would win two terms, and he actually did. And then all of a sudden, it was taken, and we'll get into that later. But hallelujah! So we just thank you, and we pray for truth and justice and victory, holiness and righteousness and justice to prevail in this country, Lord. Lord, we don't want no fraud, no, we just pray, Lord, that this doesn't become a banana republic in overnight, in 1 week, Lord, that this country, these United States stay free, Lord, and that our freedom to worship continues, our freedom to join together, our freedom to fellowship and to read the Bible, our freedom, our constitutional rights, freedom of speech, Second Amendment rights, all those things, Lord, are protected, and that we continue in the freedom that we've known all our lives. We ask in Yeshua's name, we bind the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you have Avot?
Yeah.
Would you like to do that one? It's in page 54 in the book. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to go to Avot Fathers, which is in page 54 or 22 in the book. And I think you had it from the Bar Mitzvah, Avot Fathers.
You know, it's been a long time since I'm trying to think of the tune to this. There's a tune.
Is there?
Yeah. I'll just say it. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, v'Elohei Yaakov, Ha'el Hagadol Hagivor v'Hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'Kone Hakol, V'Zocher Chastei Avot, Umevi goel livnei v'nehem lema'an shemo b'ahava. Melech chozer u'moshiach u'magen, Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Avraham.
All right, and that's, we can all say together, if you've got it there on page 22 or 54. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows grace and creates all, and remembers the kindnesses of the fathers, and brings a Redeemer to their children's children, for his name's sake, with love. O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What? I've been in Volcano.
Where is it?
Avinu Malkeinu.
Avinu.
Avinu.
Malkeinu.
Malkeinu.
Maker of all things.
Maker of all things.
Ruling o'er the works of your hands.
Of your hands.
You loved us so. To take our sin and shame, our
Father in heaven,
holy is your name.
Avinu.
בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים מצבך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בהם בשבדך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשחבך וקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Mi ha,
Malema Adonai.
Isaac and Josh, would you guys prepare to carry the Torah? Get yourselves ready. And the answer to what we just said, Micha Mocha, that's the oldest hymn in the Bible. It's the first hymn known to man, Exodus 15:11, when they came out of Egypt. Who is like you, O Lord our God? And the answer is, Ein kamocha ve'elim Adonai ve'ein kemasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'memshaltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imlok le'olam ba'ed, Adonai oz le'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
The bellmen will carry the Torah today. Bell 1 and 2. Actually, I'm bell 1. There's bell 2 and bell 3.
Torah, Leamo Yisrael, Big Dushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them hate that hate you flee from before you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. Amen.
Boys, men, if you would close the ark and have a seat up here. And people, please be seated. Ya'amod Yosef ben Aharon ben Yaakov. Baruch et Adonai hamavorah.
Baruch Adonai hamrok lelam va'ed.
Baruch Adonai hamrok yolam va'ed.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher bakar banu michol hamim. Venatan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, folks, today's Parsha is, Lord help me, it's, I forget the name, it's Genesis 18, but I forgot the name of it. So, I'm going to my trusty calendar, if you don't have one, we have some available from Israel. And, let's see here, so today is the 7th, it's Vayera, and he appeared, Genesis 18, 1 through 22. It's kind of a very, very fitting parsha. Let's turn there to Genesis 18. And take a look at that. It's kind of prophetic of the times we're living in right now. And what we have here, it says, Now the Lord appeared to Abram, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Isn't that, first of all, I just want to say, isn't it interesting that the Bible refers to the men as Elohim? And as a plural, the Lord is plural. The word for the Lord is not one. You know, Jewish people like to say Shema Yisrael, Adonai Echad, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, is Echad. But the word Echad is a unity. It's a plurality. It's many. It's like a bunch of grapes all on the same little vine. You know, they're all one on the. It's many grapes, one vine. Amen. So it's a that's what we're seeing here is three, but yet it's one Lord that he's talking to. So that's always kind of made me think about, you know, question, and that's a messianic prophecy really that. God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's evidence that God, there really is God in three, one God in three persons. I'm getting a little bit of feedback, Carol. Now I want to move ahead. I mean, the birth of Isaac is promised here. Now, think about this for a second. Abraham was 99 years old, verse 24, when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised. And the very same day Abram was circumcised, and Ishmael his son. All the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Tough luck. Now the Lord appeared. Okay, verse 18. I got myself mixed up there in chapter 18. Now the Lord appeared, as we said, and by the oaks of Mamre, Abraham looked up and he saw the Lord, and he said, verse 4, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves, that you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abram also ran to the herd and took a tender choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared. Curds and milk. Abraham basically gave the Lord a cheeseburger. Seriously. I mean, he fed the Lord. And if you ask a rabbi, you know, how do you explain this? They'll say, well, it was before the law. But the reality is, the scripture that kashrut, that the keeping kosher, not in Judaism, of not mixing meat and milk or dairy and meat together, and waiting an hour and a half after you've eaten meat before you eat dairy, that's the custom. That tradition is based on the scripture that says, thou shalt not boil a kid goat in its mother's milk. Thou shalt not boil a kid goat in its mother's milk. And that the real meaning of that scripture, of not boiling a kid goat in its mother's milk, has to do with the abomination that something life-giving as a mother's milk should not be used as the death, to bring death to the child. Amen. Something as life-giving as a mother's milk shouldn't be the thing that, you know, cooks the offspring. Amen. And that's what it's about. It's not about that you shouldn't mix meat milk or curds, yogurt, maybe it was cottage cheese. I don't know how it looked back then or what he gave him, but that's what he did. So anyway, let's move on. So Abram clearly knew that it was God who was visiting him, and the Lord promised a couple things. He said he would return a year later and they would have a child, the child of promise. Abraham tried to do it himself with Hagar, his concubine. Don't we all have our Hagars in our life where we try to do things ourselves and mess up, and God gives us a promise and we try to make it happen. How many people can say they've tried that? God gives you a promise and you try to make it happen yourself, and then you realize you blew it. You blew it, and that was one of the biggest mistakes in world history right there, because that created the people who have been the biggest thorn in the Jewish people's flesh for thousands of years now. The Ishmaelites. Those are the people of the Quran. I wish them no harm, but they have definitely been a thorn in the side of the Jewish people. The Jewish nation for millennia. So Abram really made a big blunder there, but you know, God forgave him, and God chose Abram. You know, he chose him, Abraham, to be the father of faith, the father of our people. Really, Abraham is the father of all Western religions. And Middle Eastern religions, of Christianity, of Judaism, and Islam. Abraham is the father of all three of the three major Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So let's move a little further. So the Lord decides that he's going to go down and visit Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's see, in verse 16 it says, then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? great immorality, sexual immorality. Romans, Paul says, men exchanging the natural function with men, women exchanging the natural function instead of with men, but with women, and bestiality and things like that. It was a society that had become totally bereft of moral compass and totally gone. Although they knew God existed, they didn't acknowledge Him as God. And we're living in a time such as that right now in this country, and in this city is going on. It's the same. Nothing's changed. It's in fact, it's probably worse now than it's been in decades. It's just been growing and growing. I say this not to condemn. My sister lives that lifestyle, and I love my sister. I just don't agree with the lifestyle she lives. I get along with my sister. We talk, we just agree to disagree about politics, and she doesn't like my faith. I don't like her politics or her lifestyle. So, but other than we don't talk about it, we get along. When we do, we fight. So, that's my situation. But, I want to say one point here. I have that in my family, so I can relate to it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of gay people because I know gay people. I have had... I owned a restaurant on State Street where my neighbors on both sides, and I'm ringing still, neighbors on both sides were gay, and they were my friends. We were friends. We didn't socialize. We didn't hang out, but if they needed a cup of flour or a pound of flour or a pound of bacon or something, we had a bagel shop, and turkey bacon, had to be turkey bacon, of course. If they needed hamburger or whatever, something we had, we helped each other. Amen. And I always had a good relationship with everybody on the street, everybody that was on the street. There's a saying, and I'm not sure if it's in the Bible, but it says, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. Amen. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Lord decides, He says, I'm going to go down. The cry of Sodom, verse 20, and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to the outcry. And so two of the men called the Lord went down there. One stayed with Abraham. And of course, the men entered the town, and Lot, Abraham's nephew, took them in, and because they had no place to stay. And the men of the people of the city came banging on the door. They wanted to have relations with those two men called the Lord. And those men called the Lord struck the people of the city with blindness. God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his nephew, who he tried to, he rescued, those men rescued, they took Lot's daughters, his two daughters and his wife, and the two daughters were betrothed, they had fiancés, and the fiancés, they mocked the Lord. And said, we're not going to go, we're not going to leave. And they stayed there, and they were destroyed when the hellfire and brimstone came down, upon the city and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And they didn't leave. So it was Lot, and then Lot's wife turned around, and she looked back, and the Bible tells us that she was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. She was looking back at that life, missing it. She was longing for it. Amen. She wanted to go back to it. And because of that, God turned her into a pillar of salt. So we can look back at our lives and we can look back over our lives. but we shouldn't long to go back. We shouldn't want to go back to Egypt, so to speak. Amen? The children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to my former life. It's not easy being, you know, who I am, and it's not easy fighting cancer for 10 years as I have been, but I don't want to go back to that life that I lived. But yet, you know, some of you hear me play the music once in a while. Like last week we played some oldies kind of music down in the fellowship hall, you know, for kicks. It brings the memories back, but it's not something that I desire to go back to, or, you know, that I, you know, it's all in the intent of the heart. Okay. So with all that said, let me just conclude. We're living in a time such as this right now. And what was the end result of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the sexual immorality, of the wickedness and the abomination that went on? The result was destruction. The result was complete and total destruction, judgment from God, and judgment by fire. And that's exactly what God promises in the world, to this world, that he's going to destroy it in the end of days by fire. And, you know, wickedness will run its course, as we're seeing, I believe, right now. We're seeing wickedness, we're seeing sexual immorality on such a major scale throughout the world. However, God said something interesting to Abraham. He said, if there be 10 righteous people in the city, he wouldn't destroy it. If there be 15, you know, certain enough righteous people in the city, God wouldn't destroy it. But there weren't as many righteous people in the city as Abraham asked. Okay? So there are more righteous people in the world, so God won't destroy it while we're here. Amen? He won't destroy the earth while we're here. He'll take us out before he destroys it. I don't know when that will be, but he will take us out before he destroys. Now, that's not to say we won't have to go through some stuff. You know, I'm not going to give you a date or you know, I think a lot of folks never thought they'd see. I think we're seeing a falling away in the body of Messiah right now. I think we're seeing people fall away from the Lord. I'm going to talk today about is standing with Israel the most important thing. I'm going to talk about that in my message, and I'm going to talk about the Jezebel spirit today. I'll get to that in my message, but I think we're seeing. I think that this past week, folks, we crossed over into a new period, an end time period. We've crossed forever change. Time, history has forever changed this week, and will never go back. Life will never be the same for you and for me and for everybody out there in the United States. Americans are more polarized than ever. This election has caused us to be more divided and more uncompromising towards each other, more unwilling to talk and reason with each other, those who disagree with each other, than any other. And this election has solidified that, I think, in a way that I kind of remember beginning more with in my life, with George Bush versus Al Gore in 2000, when they took 36 days, I think, to decide the count of the election. And there was corrupt counting of the ballots, and, you know, it went to court, and George Bush was declared the winner. I wrote a letter 4 years ago called The Last President of the United States, in which I predicted that Donald Trump, and I wasn't a Donald Trump supporter when I wrote the letter, and they're sitting on the corner of the staircase there, if anybody would like one. It's called The Last President of the United States, but this is one I did recently called 4 years Later. And I kind of looked at what I predicted 9 months before Trump was elected, and, you know, I gave a lecture on this message to the general of the Special Forces of the United States military. He was the general of the, he was the commander of the SEALs, of the Delta Force, of the Rangers, of the Green Berets. There was a congressman in the room. There was a Marine major. There was a police chief of, deputy chief of Bristol, Virginia was in the room. And the room was right down there and below this parking lot, our fellowship hall. All these people were there. And do you remember the man said, he opposed me. He said, Trump will never get to, those military guys said, Trump won't be make it to office. There'll be martial law, they said. Didn't they say that Diane was there? And I said, no, sir. He will be elected. I opposed the general of Black Hawk Down, you know, to his face. He never wanted to talk to me again. But he knows I was right. He knows I was right. And I not only said Trump would be elected 9 months before he was elected, but I also said he would be elected twice. And I believe he won the election the other night. I believe that what happened, I believe, and you can believe what you want, but I believe that he had the votes and that he wasn't given the victory in certain states. They stopped the counting, and then they said, oh, okay, we need 120,000 ballots in Michigan or 700,000 plus ballots in Pennsylvania. And so now we're just going to, all these mail-in ballots just appeared. And in the hundreds of thousands, and they were all for Biden. Isn't that amazing? They were all for Biden. I mean, what are the chances, Deborah, you know, that they would all be for one guy and none for the other guy? You know, I mean, it's like, okay, so they counted the election, they counted the votes, and then they said, this is how many ballots we need to beat that number, so we're going to, you know, we're going to do this new thing with this mail-in ballot system, and we're going to rig the election. And it's and President Trump himself, he called it the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people in history. Well, it isn't over, folks, and I wouldn't give up. I don't know where you stand politically, and if you know if you're a Biden person, God bless you. Last week I said we need to be peacemakers, but I'm also a truth speaker. And I'll speak truth to generals, and I'll speak truth to Biden people. Yes, ma'am. I agree with you, Deborah. That he is, God is exposing much right now. And I believe Trump will be president for a second term, and this newsletter states why. And if you want to know why, I don't have time to go into it here, but you know why. But some folks here today may not know why. And folks online, if you'd like to know why, you can contact our ministry, and or you can look online. Just go to you're on our website. So the last president of the United States, 4 years later. Just read it for yourself. And the one I wrote last month called The Divided States of America, those are some good newsletters to help you. And then you can go back 4 years and read the original newsletters that I wrote and see for yourself why I say that, you know. But anyway, so that's the situation. Yes, I believe that we have crossed over. Just as at 9/11 we crossed over from the time of the fishermen, I believe, Jeremiah 16:14, to the time of the hunters. We crossed over from the time of the fishermen to the time of the hunters. And you can read that. It says, Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, The Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the north and from all the countries where he scattered them. And I will send out fishermen to fish for them. And afterwards I will send many hunters to hunt them from the clefts of the rocks and the caves. And fishermen are evangelists. You know, Peter was a fisherman. You know, John was a fisherman. Hunters are different. Esau was a hunter. Hunters are not friendly.
and they're not people preaching the gospel. And we're, I believe 9/11 is when we crossed over into the time of the hunters, and you see terrorism rose up after that, and people were attacked, you know, on trains, restaurants were blown up, terrorism, and even in the United States, San Bernardino, the military base down there, and what was that, Fort Bragg? Fort Hood, the Fort Hood attack. There have been many terrorist attacks in the United States. The Boston bombing, Boston Marathon bombing, where when you are a deer, you know, you don't know. If you're the idea of a hunter is to go after a prey that doesn't know it's being hunted. Amen. And so that's the whole idea of the hunter, is to attack and kill the prey, and without the prey knowing that you're there. And that's the times that we're living in, folks. And it's a time of great treachery. Now, that's my message for today. And it brings us another step closer to the coming of the Lord, to us being with the Lord. But it also brings us one step closer to very difficult times, and we need to prepare spiritually, and we need to have a plan. And I do give a plan in my newsletters. I give a plan for people who accept it. If you accept my plan, and with that, let's move on.
Asher Samoshe, Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, Pi Adonai, Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Thanks, guys.
Etz Chaim Bi Kiba Betom Kera Menusheshar Derahera Dorheno Behon Tibotera Shalom Hashimenu Adonai Elecha Benashuva.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated, and just have a couple of announcements, and then we'll continue with worship. I don't want to fall as I go across here. Hallelujah. I know all of you are always nervous when I'm coming across here, aren't you? There's all those wires. We gotta redo all that there. And then I got high heels on today. Well, I just want to welcome everyone. And we have visitors. We didn't have time to say hello before you came in, so would you mind introducing yourselves? Wow, okay. Great choice. Yes. If you have any questions, let us know. Neil, did you say?
Neil
and
Christine.
Neil and Jamie. But, so have you been to
a Messianic congregation before? That's Rabbi Levine. The Levines. Yeah, we know the Levines. What great people. We are we're in fellowship with them, and so that's nice. So we, if you have any questions about, you know, the area or whatever you need, just let us know, and I'll say right now, Tennessee, not Virginia. Even though this congregation is in Virginia. Yeah. We wish we were not. Yes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome. It's great to have you, and look forward to getting to know you a little better. And everyone else online, we want to welcome you. If you're new, welcome, and encourage you to come and join us. We have plenty of space. I've tried. Of course, we've got new little labels out on the chairs because of the bar mitzvah, where you can and cannot sit. So that we try to maintain that distance. And as Rabbi said before, we the Middletons are now in quarantine, and so we really need to continue to be vigilant and disciplined. Rabbi has, you know, cancer that he's fighting, so let's try to maintain that. Amen? Best we can. Yes.
Progress report, though. Yeah. I started a new chemotherapy a few weeks ago, and they had trouble with the dose, and I had side effects, but they stopped it, and they took me down from four pills to one, and turns out one pill is working, and my counts have been going up this week.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, and the side effects are tolerable so far. Whereas with four pills, I couldn't tolerate the side effects. But so they're trying to ramp it up very slowly. And but the one pill seems to be working. So praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So let's continue to pray that God, we have a victory. Amen. Yes, Isaac. We are having Oneg. I was just about to ask. Okay. All right, so we are having Oneg, so we'll just move over to the fellowship hall afterwards. Everyone's welcome to join. There's usually plenty of food. And the only other thing I want to remind everyone is that Hanukkah's coming. Of course, there's Thanksgiving in a couple weeks. I don't know, at this point, we're not doing anything special. So the next thing on the calendar is Hanukkah. And if you can find it, we will be announcing a special service probably. So just stay tuned for that. I don't have it on, I haven't put it in stone yet. But Hanukkah starts December 11th and runs through the 19th. Of the 18th, really. So just pencil that in and make sure that you stay open. We'll have probably, like I said, one of the Friday nights we'll probably have a special service. And then whatever you do with your families. Amen? So any other questions? Did I miss anything, Rabbi?
But the Associated Press did just come out and report that they Associated Press is declaring that Biden won, but that doesn't mean that the government or the Supreme Court has decided that Biden won. So just because the Associated Press is declaring it doesn't mean it is so. We'll see. And if he wins, he wins. You know, we just, God is in control. And
amen.
We just have to accept that God is in control. And if that's the way it's going to be, you know, and we'll talk about it more. So anyway, I'm going to talk about a little bit my message. So we're going to, I wouldn't get worried about it or stressed. Wouldn't lose sleep over it if you're not, that wasn't your candidate. Even if he did win, well, I'm not going to say he won because I watched this whole process and it's been a joke, you know. Just the whole thing with the mail-in ballots has been ridiculous. And you folks being from Florida, you've experienced that. So I have my view about and we're going to talk about it today in the message. I want to say one thing, though. We're living in a time, and I've been censored on Facebook for mentioning just... even trying to give this newsletter on Facebook, they wouldn't let me advertise it because it talked about the president, the election. It wouldn't allow me to. So we've come to a point in time, friends, when we have to speak in parable. And so today I'm talking about Naboth's vineyard, where Naboth had a beautiful vineyard, and he lived next to King Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard, and Jezebel went to court and got two false witnesses and stole the vineyard from Naboth, and then Naboth was put to death. And it was, so what was rightfully Naboth's was taken from him. We're going to talk about that today. And we're not going to talk about elections in my message. When we go on to Facebook, I'm not going to discuss it. Now we're on live stream. It's okay. But I'm not going to... you know, Facebook will censor. It's sad. It's sad commentary that we've come to this, where social media, the media is censoring the truth. The media is censoring, and is an arm of a political party. It's, who would have imagined that in America that we would ever come to that? Although it's been building since the 1960s. But anyway, let's take our tithes and offerings, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these tithes and offerings today. We thank you that you provide for this ministry and for the needs of this congregation. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness that you have sustained us throughout COVID and throughout the whole season that we've been through this year. It's been one wild year, I'll say that. And so now bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. And friends online, if you'd like to give, you can give right there on PayPal or donate. There's a donate button there on the website if you'd like to contribute. We have friends that watch every week, and some of them support the ministry, and so anybody else, the tithe box is in the back of the room. God bless you, Ezekiel.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the not fate, you won't grow weary. upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
battle belongs. your enemy presses in hard, do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near.
Good God. And through the trials, he brings us closer together, and that's really what he's all about. He's all about family. Amen. And bringing us together. But we love him. So let's just love on the Lord today. Let's reach out to him because he's the one who loves us best. We can love each other, but guess who loves you better? God. And we Mama loves you, but God loves you more than Mama, right? Hallelujah.
All-consuming fire.
You're my heart's desire, and I love you dearly, dearly, Lord. You're my meditation and my consolation, and I love you dearly, dearly. You're my heart's desire, and I love you dearly, dearly, Lord. You're my meditation and my consolation, and I love you. Lord, I'll not want. In pastures green I lie. He leadeth me by waters still. The quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again. In righteous paths he leads, even for the sake of his own name, for his own name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff they comfort me. A table thou dost prepare in the presence of my foes. My head with oil thou dost anoint, and my overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Table, and if you're watching online and you'd like to join us, if you want to grab some grape juice or Manischewitz or Mogen David, whatever you like, if you like have some matzah or crackers or bread, if you want to get some and join us, I'm gonna bless. We have these little COVID-19 cups. for everybody, complete with a little piece of unleavened bread there. So let's bless it. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup, the third cup of the Passover meal. The Last Supper was a Passover, and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Then Yeshua took the afikomen of Passover, and which is the bread taken after the meal in Luke 22, and it's taken together with the third cup, as I said before, the cup of redemption is the third cup of Passover. Every Jew takes this bread and the afikomen and the cup, the third cup, together after the meal. But traditional Jews don't see it as the representing the body and the blood of the Messiah. They see it as, they call it dessert. And then they eat it, and then they eat cake. Or chocolate mousse. Or flourless chocolate cake, which is really good. But we won't get into that right now. Okay, so anyhow, I like that stuff, don't you? So... anyway,
best is matzah with Nutella.
Matzah what?
Nutella on matzah.
Oh gosh, come on, Don. Stop it. All right. So, we invite all believers in the Messiah to come to the table of the Lord. I'm going to bless the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And we invite, like I said, if you know the Messiah, if you have a personal relationship with the Messiah, and we invite you to come to his table and to partake. And if you don't know him, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, all you have to do is the Bible says, if we believe in our hearts that Yeshua is Lord and we confess with our mouths, that we shall be saved. And so I like to pray with people. If you like to meet the Messiah and just pray with me and confess that he's the Messiah, I believe you'll get to know him. So let's pray. If you're watching, if somebody's here today and doesn't know the Messiah, just let's bow our heads for a moment and pray this prayer. Dear God, pray with me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I have made many mistakes. I have not kept your laws. Lord, I don't even know all your laws. But I know your standard is perfection. And I have fallen short of that standard. And for that reason, I need a Savior. So, Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Yeshua. Jesus. To die on the cross for me. To give me the promise of eternal life. To give me the promise of healing. And to give me the promise of abundant life. And forgiveness of sin. With this prayer. I receive. Yeshua. As my Savior. And my Lord. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, if you're here or if you're watching online, just contact me and I have a gift for you. So please feel free to get in touch with me and or come and talk to me either way, okay? All right. So with that said, I want to L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Okay. Josh, would you get my chair, boy? Hallelujah. Victory. Yeah. Amen. Let's rejoice. Praise the Lord, man. You know, whatever happens, I mean, look at the way the apostles, read the book of Acts. Look at what life was like. They talk about, the left talks about banning the Bible, shutting down churches, shutting down houses of worship, and in some states they are using COVID as a reason. They let people go out and riot, and that's fine, but they criticize Trump rallies and church services. They let people come together for other occasions and gatherings, but they ban this. They don't like. And, I can't believe how many Christians voted for their own demise. They voted for the demise of their ability to come to the house of the Lord to worship. They voted for the demise of their ability, the freedom to read the Bible. It's like voting for Antiochus on Hanukkah. You know, that's really what it's like. You know, voting for the friends of Israel, for the friends, the enemies of Israel. That's what they voted for. I'm baffled. I'm talking about as high up as the man. I don't know his name. I heard him on TV the other night. He runs the American Jewish Congress, which is a big organization. He's the head of the American Jewish Congress, and he was against He's against the president who made more peace in the Middle East than any other president in history. He's against the president of the United States who moved the embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem. What has happened to the Jewish people in this country? How the mighty have fallen. You know, we've been deceived. It's like the days when Jeroboam deceived the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom and led them astray to worship Baal and Asherah, and Judah and Benjamin were left to follow David. A remnant was left to worship. And in the days of Gideon, we talked about last week, talked about how the children of Israel, because of their idolatry, were forced by the Midianites and the Amalekites to go live in the caves and digging holes in the ground and live in the mountains and forage for their food, and they cried out to God, and God sent a deliverer. He sent Gideon. And Isaac, I'll tell you when to turn that on, okay? I'll give you the cue. But but the point is, there have been times in history when our people, when God's people, have been persecuted, and they've always made it through, and they've always survived. And you know, freedom will always prevail. Freedom will always overcome. Tyranny will never prevail over freedom. People will suffer. People will die. But tyranny will never win out. And the Lord, and I'm going to read that today. We're going to get to it. But before we begin, I just want to share a prophecy that a woman, Carolyn Hyde, she's a friend in Israel. She's part of the Messianic leadership in Israel, and her husband, and they've just come through a very difficult time where she's had some strokes, and her daughter, her blood sugar, has diabetes, was in the hospital, almost died with blood sugar at 800, and was in an induced coma in the hospital, and the daughter's home now. She survived that, and she went blind, and her sight came back. I mean, just miraculous things happened, and we prayed. I prayed for her. I don't know if everybody else did, but I know I did. I'm not sure if I announced it. But Carolyn had a prophecy that she had a word or a vision, and she shared it on her Facebook page the other day. She said that she saw in the dream that the prayers of the saints were going up, but they were like, if you think of like a meat grinder or a big blade, they were on a pole. High up, there were these high poles, and they had blades. I think of almost like a windmill, you know. And the prayers of the saints were going up, but they were getting caught in the blades, and they were being not allowed to go up to heaven to God. So then she saw in the vision, she was told to pick up a stone, or somebody picked up a pebble. She didn't say even a big stone, a pebble is what she said. They threw the pebble up into the blade, and it caught, and it caused the blade to get stuck, and then from that point the prayers were able to go up to God. And I thought it was an interesting word, you know, that, you know. And she said she encouraged people, and she's a godly woman. She's very well known in Messianic leadership, Carolyn Hyde. You know, I wouldn't just say words like this if it wasn't from someone that's considered reputable. She said, you know, ask God for a pebble to throw up at those blades. See the blades up there? So let's all pick up a pebble. Okay, let's pick up a spiritual pebble. Amen. And let's toss it. Let's turn on the blades. Amen. All right. Everybody grab your pebble and chuck it at the blades, okay? I know this is weird. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we want our prayers to be heard. We don't want a hindrance. Amen. We don't want a hindrance to our prayers being heard. Okay. Well, we can turn on Facebook now, and I will stop talking about elections and stuff. Tell me when it's on, Josh. It's on. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Shalom. Shalom, friends on Facebook. Welcome. Welcome to our service today. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we're glad you're with us today. And let's all give Facebook friends a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. I said today's message is called, Is Standing with Israel the Most Important Thing? And combine that with the Jezebel spirit. So I'm going to tie the two together. Is standing with Israel the most important thing, and the Jezebel spirit? Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word now. Thank you that you anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that your word goes forth where it falls, where it's meant to, and that your word doesn't return void, because you said that your word does not return void. So thank you, God, that your word is truth and your word is life. And we just thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, that you would bless this message now and anoint your servant, empty me of Joe. Hallelujah. As I said the other day, I was shocked to see the leader of the World Jewish Congress come out publicly on the news on election night. I said I wasn't going to talk about the election, but I can't help talking. I've got to mention this because the message is standing with Israel, the most important thing. And if the leader of the American Jewish Congress doesn't stand with Israel, you can turn the fan off if it's too cold. But this guy, you know, what does it take if, you know, if we have a president, a sitting president, who has made more peace in the Middle East, made more peace in the Middle East with more countries, with the United Arab Emirates, with Dubai, with Qatar, with Saudi Arabia, with Sudan, with probably Kuwait. I mean, with all these countries in the Middle East, he's made more peace in the last 2 months with Arab countries and enemies of Israel than any other president in history. And he's despised by probably 80 to 90% of his own people. And the president's despised, but, you know, for doing, and he moved the embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem. What can he do? I mean, what could he possibly do? More could he do for Israel? What more could he do? He would stand with Israel if they were attacked. I fully believe that. That have confidence that he would defend Israel militarily. I don't believe that the previous administration would stand with Israel. They stood with the Palestinians. They gave them money. They gave them. Barack Obama gave the Palestinians, I think, $20 million, either when he left office or when he got, or at the, I can't remember where in his 8 years that he gave them all that money. But, you know, he supported them financially. And what do they do with the money? They make rockets. They buy rockets and guns and build tunnels to kill Jews. That's what you do when you support Palestinians in Gaza, Hamas. When you support Hamas, you're supporting the murder of Jews. And our people stand for that. And they don't realize that the very people that are part of, on their side, that they're the group, the left that they're supporting, they don't realize that those people hate them too. That you know, there was a congressman in New York, Elliot, what was his name? Elliot, somebody help me. Congressman Elliot something. He was a Jewish guy. And he was defeated by a far-left progressive, I think maybe even a Muslim guy, defeated him. And he's a longtime congressman, Democrat congressman, well-known, high-ranking, and he was knocked off in a re-election back in several months ago in the summer. And, you know, Jews are not going to prosper under a democratic government of any sort. It's not going to be friendly to the Jewish people. And a lot of people are going to find out that their hopes in the Democratic candidate for president are going to be sadly disappointed when they find out that they're after the election they're put to the side. You know, they're thrown under the bus. I believe many people will be thrown under the bus, and their support will no longer be needed or wanted. And that's what happened to the Jews. Many Jews supported Hitler coming into power, and many Jews when the Nazis came, and many Jews fought in World War I, and when the Nazis came to take them away after they banned gun laws, they took away their guns, and they came to take the Jews away to concentration camps. Many of the German Jews who fought in World War I said to the Nazis, they said to them, hey, here's my medals, here's my uniform. I fought in World War I. I'm a patriot. And they said, well, that's nice, and but get in the van now. And they took them off to the concentration camps. You know, they didn't care. They could care less about what they did for the country, what they did for Germany. And our people were deceived. Jewish people were deceived in World War II, and Jewish people are being deceived again. So, which raises the question, again, of this message, is standing with Israel the most important thing? And, you know, I was talking to somebody who said to me, and this is a Christian friend, he's not Jewish, he said to me, standing with Israel is the most important thing. And I'll give you some reasons why, besides what I just said. First of all, the current President Trump has been called a Nazi, he's been called a racist, he's called a white supremacist, and his supporters have been called Nazis, racists, and white supremacists. Well, I'm a Jew, and I'm not a white supremacist, and I'm not a Nazi, and but I did confess I voted for Trump. And, it makes no sense to throw around those terms. That terminology is harsh. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to call Trump supporters racists and horrible names. They've dehumanized Trump supporters by calling us smelly Walmart shopping, deplorable, all kinds of racists, xenophobes, whatever, you know, uneducated. the list goes on and on. Can anybody think of something I didn't think of? Call it out. Anybody? Okay. All right. There are no death camps under Trump. There are no ghettos. There's no persecuting of the opposition. There's no persecution of anyone. Nobody's gone to jail. No civilians have been punished. The agencies of the government, the FBI or the IRS, haven't been weaponized against Democrats. Democrats haven't been persecuted by... Nobody's been persecuted by the Trump administration. So to call him a Nazi is just, it's a little bit far-fetched. It's way far-fetched. In fact, they accused Mr. Trump of putting children in cages at the border when it was the Obama administration you can Google it. I guess Google it or look on some search engine. It was the Obama administration that built the cages to put children in those cages, children who crossed the border. Amen. It wasn't President Trump who built those cages. And you know, I don't know if they're putting kids in cages. I don't know that that's really happening, but he's been accused of that. And just terrible, all kinds of horrible stuff's being said. And as for walls, it's amazing how Rhode Island would not allow New Yorkers to come in during COVID, and how I remember going to Florida for cancer treatment, and Florida wouldn't let New Yorkers or people from the north, like Massachusetts or Rhode Island, whatever, you know, COVID states, come in during last year when COVID was big up north. And it hadn't really hit the South yet, and every time I drove into Florida for treatment, I was pulled over at a rest area by state police every time for many months. We were pulled over, and we had to say what state we were from, and they would look at our license plate. We had to give our reason for coming in, and we were to the state and asked if we had COVID, and we'd say why we were going, And they let us in from Tennessee, but God forbid, you were trying to go to the Mayo Clinic from New York, you couldn't have come. You couldn't have come, So walls, imaginary walls were put up, but they worked. They kept people out, and it's amazing how Rhode Island would not allow New Yorkers in who owned houses, beach houses in Rhode Island, which is very common. Many New Yorkers and people from Connecticut were not allowed into Rhode Island during COVID back in the spring, and it just they weren't allowed to go to their houses. Even Europe reestablished borders. The European Union traditionally, since its inception, did away with borders, and you could go from one country to another without showing your passport or just showing your European Union passport. You could cross borders and into different countries, and you could drive from England through the Channel, go into France, and you didn't have to go through customs. If you were part of the European Union, you could just travel freely until COVID-19. And all of a sudden, walls came up, and you couldn't travel from one country to another, and everybody was afraid of everybody else. And, the concept of borders returned, and I think our unadmittedly back. If it gets serious enough, they'll keep people from different places out of other place, states and countries. So let's look at the Bible, though. Is Israel the most important thing? Well, Psalm 132:13 says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion; He has desired it for His dwelling place." For the Lord has chosen Zion, He has desired it for His dwelling place. And let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8. Some people have said to me, well, you just like Trump because you support Israel. And I've given a lot of reasons why I'm pro-life. But let's read Zechariah 8 here. It says, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the Holy Mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of age, and the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, is it too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days? Will it be too difficult in my sight? Declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I'm going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west." That's us. We're the people from the land of the west. God's going to save us. There's going to be a massive aliyah. And that's my... Remember I said the Lord always gives a way out. And I believe that the way out is a massive aliyah that's coming from the west and from other parts of the world to Israel. And God says the two wings of the great eagle are going to be given to the woman in Revelation 12:14 to fly her people back to into the wilderness, into the desert. The word is Bamidbar, into the desert of Israel. And what I believe God showed me about the two wings of the great eagle, at first, my wife is a jet pilot, and I thought, well, he's going to use John the Revelator. He saw an airplane, a jumbo jet, carrying Jewish people and Christians who love Israel, and he didn't understand what it was, so he called it the two wings of the great eagle. But then I got a further revelation that the two wings of the great eagle is the United States military, the United States, airlines and military planes, that the leader of this country. This is why I believe the election isn't over, because I believe Donald Trump has a job to do to help us get back to Israel in a time of distress in the next 4 years. I believe you're seeing a massive exodus already in this country. If you follow the news, just about a month ago, there were 16,000 empty residences in New York City. Now, this city of where we are has about 16,000. It's about the number of residences that there are in the whole city. Okay? In New York City, a month ago, there were 16,000 empty for sale residential units and countless office buildings and office space for rent in New York City. People are leaving California, Los Angeles. They're leaving cities. They're leaving big U.S. cities and Detroit. They're leaving, probably Chicago too, and Baltimore. They're fleeing to places like this, like Tennessee or North Carolina. And I know so many people like Deborah and Vince, who were here a few weeks ago doing worship for us. They moved a few years ago from California to North Carolina, now to South Carolina. My friend Jean, she moved like 7-8 years ago to Texas from California. And I said to her, I said, Jean, I said, I got a word for you. I said, in so doing, you will save your lives. Because I really believe people who stay in California, and I've been saying this, the fires have been getting worse and worse and worse, and I've been saying God's trying to tell people to get out of California, get out while you can. And I'm not afraid to say it, get out of California, get out while you can, because there's going to come a day when the freeways are, I've been to California, I've spent months living there, and I spent probably 6 months living there. And I know when the freeways are packed, and there's no way out. It's I've been in a blackout in Santa Monica Beach. I was in a blackout in a bookstore, and all the streetlights went out. Can you imagine being in LA in a blackout at 7, 8 o'clock at night when it's dark? And fortunately, we had our bus. We were touring with a music group called the Liberated Wailing Wall. And I was the leader of the team. I was able to get us out of the bookstore and back to the bus. And you can't get on a Prevost bus unless you have to have like a fire axe to break into a bus. The door opens and we got in the bus and we were safe and we got out of the city there, But I mean, it was chaos. It was nuts. People were flying through where red lights were. It was lawlessness. People, God knows what they were stealing in the dark in the bookstore that we were in. It was a Barnes & Noble, it was just craziness, and that's what's going to be in California. So, anyway, so Zechariah says the Lord is going to dwell in Jerusalem. And let's look at Zechariah 12. And I got another word about California. About 6-7 years ago, I was invited to speak out there in Los Angeles, in the place where Kobe Bryant died, and near it was Calabasas. I was staying in Calabasas, and I was speaking at Beth Emunah, Murray Silberling's congregation, and I was speaking one Shabbat and staying with Murray Silberling in near Calabasas, where Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down. And it just reminded me of Israel. The climate out there is so much, it's like Israel. It's so lush, you know, and some parts of Israel, especially in the spring, are so lush and green and warm, and there's so much fruit on the trees, and there's fruit trees and flowers and hibiscus. And that's the way it was. Murray lives on a golf course. And it just reminded me of Israel. I felt like it was in that desert climate. I felt like, you know, it was that warm desert climate with, you know, you knew you were in a lush oasis but surrounded by desert. You know, you could feel the desert nearby, but yet you were in a very lush oasis area. And I could see why Jewish people would be drawn to Los Angeles. It's that kind of like Israel, you know. It's the closest thing in the United States, maybe Florida is the other comparison, you know, to Israel. But the two, maybe in Arizona. I mean, a lot of Jews in Florida, Arizona, and California, that's for sure. So anyway, I was out there, and I got a word, and the word was this. I believe I heard the Lord say, my people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from home. My people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world. I mean, on the opposite side of the world from home. Can you, you know, and God wants us to come home. He wants to bring us back. I read that before, you know, that God wants to bring his children back from the west and from the north and from the south and from the east, because the king is coming and he wants his children, he wants his people to be there to welcome the king. Amen. You know, there's I often said, you know, if the Queen of England was coming to this town, and you went down to State Street, which is our main street here, if the Queen of England was coming, do you think the city would get ready? Do you think they'd put out British, the Union Jack, and on light poles and American flags and alternate them, and you think they'd clean the streets and power wash dirt and buildings and make it nice and spiffy for the Queen? How many of you agree with that? You think they'd get ready? They do it for festivals and stuff here. Yeah, they sure would. Would Jacksonville do it? Would they roll out the red carpet for the Queen of England? Amen. Well, I think the Lord wants his people to, you know, just as when he entered the city of Jerusalem and they put the palm branches down for him, he wants us to get ready for his return. And he wants Israel, Jerusalem, to be prepared for his return, for his coming. He wants to greet his people to be there to greet him, you know, and when he comes back. And, you know, that's why Jacob had his bones brought to Israel, because in the resurrection he wants to be there when the Lord comes back. And he and Joseph had his bones brought to Israel, so that when my uncle Max had his bones, he was a very ultra-Orthodox Jew. Ultra-Orthodox Jews believe in the resurrection, and they believe that my uncle Max had his bones flown to Israel and buried on the Mount of Olives, so he would be among the first to rise in the resurrection. As the ultra-Orthodox Jews believe, those buried on the Mount of Olives will be the first to rise in the resurrection. Isn't that something? His son was very wealthy, owned a restaurant chain called Pizzeria Uno, or Uno Restaurant Bar and Grill, and it was my cousin Aaron. It cost $100,000 for him to send his father have him buried, which reminds me of a joke, but I won't go there. You want to hear the joke or not? No? Okay. All right. Let's move on. Zechariah 12, burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. That's including this nation. Every nation of the earth one day will be gathered against Jerusalem, against Israel and Jerusalem with their military. They're going to come and attack Israel. And this is what's going, I believe, going to precipitate the return of the Lord. It says, in that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse, verse 4, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah. Well, I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem. No, the Lord of hosts, through the Lord of hosts, their God. And that day I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood, a flaming torch among sheaves, so they will consume on the right hand and on the left and all around the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord will also save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. And so essentially in Zechariah 12, the Lord tells us there's going to be, Jerusalem will be surrounded by all the nations of the earth. All the peoples will attack Israel, and he is going to come himself and fight. And that's going to be his return. When the Lord returns, he's coming back to save Israel. And that's something you really don't hear in church. You hear that he's coming back, and he's coming in the clouds with power and great glory, but you don't know, we're not really told. And when I went to church, used to go to church, I was never told he was coming back to save Israel, but he is. Let's look at Zechariah 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil was taken from you, will be divided among you, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured and the houses plundered, the women ravished and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. What did I say? He's going to come and fight against the nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And that day his feet, Yeshua's feet, will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in East Jerusalem, in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. What's he doing? He's grading the land for his temple, for the Ezekiel temple. If you've ever studied the Ezekiel temple, and I studied with Dr. Lewis Goldberg, one of the greatest Hebrew, before Messianic Judaism, there was Hebrew Christianity. And Lewis Goldberg was one of the, with Arnold Fruchtenbaum, and a couple other men, was one of the, probably the foremost pre-Messianic Jewish scholar. He preceded Michael Redelnik at Moody Bible College as the professor of Jewish studies at Moody Bible College. He's probably the foremost scholar on the Ezekiel Temple, and he was my teacher. I spent a year in private study with him in New York City. And he wrote books on the subject, and I studied theology with him in New York City as a private student. I was blessed with a scholarship for 1 year of study with Dr. Lewis Goldberg. He passed away about 15 years ago, but very, very famous Hebrew Christian scholar. Anyway, what you notice about this is Yeshua, there's an earthquake and the mountain splits and it kind of pulls apart and flattens. Doesn't sounds like he's going to place for a temple, a big temple, right? And then if you read in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 47, a temple is built. But you notice the difference between the Ezekiel temple. First of all, it's never been built. No temple, according to those measurements that you read in Ezekiel, has ever been built. Okay? The Temple Mount Institute in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, people planning to rebuild the temple, they're planning to rebuild Solomon's temple, Herod's temple. They're planning to rebuild Herod's temple, which is essentially the Antichrist temple. What they're going to try to rebuild is the Antichrist temple. These are Orthodox Jews who are building in the flesh a temple that is not being, it's going to be used for the anti-Messiah to set himself up as God and whatever it is they build. And they're ready to go, man. They are. If you've been to Israel, they are ready to go with that temple. Anybody been there? Praise the Lord. Okay. So anyway, but Yeshua, the different and interesting thing about this Ezekiel temple is that in all the other temples, in King David's temple, Solomon's temple, and in Herod's temple, or the temple that Ezra and Zerubbabel built in Jerusalem, it says that David provided, you know, the cedars of Lebanon were given by Hiram to build the first temple, and all these workmen came down. Bezalel was a craftsman, and all these laborers came from afar and to build the temple. And it tells about them, and if you read about it in Chronicles, the building of David's temple, there were about some 153,000 laborers from foreigner Gentiles, who came to build the temple. Solomon's temple, the second temple, Cyrus, when he sent the Jews back, he asked all the people of Persia to give gold and silver and all the things that they would need to build their temple. If you read Ezra 1, if you read about Cyrus, let's look there. Let's turn, hold your place in Zechariah and turn to Ezra chapter 1. All right, Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you, all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Every survivor, at whatever place he may live, let men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." You see, every temple or the tabernacle, plundered Egypt of all the things they needed to build the tabernacle: gold, silver, the fabrics, everything that they needed was taken out of Egypt, given by the Egyptians to build the tabernacle. Okay, and you know that if you read the Exodus. So the tabernacle, this temple that Cyrus is building became Herod's temple, and then King David he provided all the materials for his son Solomon to build the first temple. So what we don't see in the Ezekiel temple, the third temple, the third real temple, what we don't see is anywhere where there's an offering or people involved in building the temple. It doesn't say he doesn't raise up a person to build the temple. He doesn't raise up an offering of the materials, which gives the impression that he speaks it into existence. That when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14 and the valley, it says his feet will stand, verse 4, on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14:4, east of Jerusalem, and so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley. I believe he's going to speak his temple into existence, just like he spoke the earth and the heavens and the seas and the oceans and the nations into existence. It says he spoke the word. He spoke the world into creation. He spoke the creation into existence. No man built the world. No man built the stars and the planets, and God just spoke it into existence, you know? Amen? And if God, think about this, if God can speak planets and stars and the earth into existence and the oceans and the mountains, can he not speak a temple into existence? Amen? Can he not create it just by speaking it? If he can raise the dead with his mouth, with his words, and forgive sins with his words, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth on the fourth day. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days, you know, stinking in the heat, whatever, of where, you know, the desert there. And he called him forth. And he came forth in his grave clothes. I mean, that must have been a sight, you know. And they said, unwrap him. And he rose from the dead. And Elijah, the Shunammite woman's son, died, and Elisha took him up and breathed, you know, laid him on the bed and breathed life and called forth, you know, cried out to God to bring him back to life, to put his spirit, bring his spirit back into him. Amen. His soul. He said, "Return, Lord God, bring his soul, send his soul back into his body." And he did. And the boy came back to life. Both Elisha and Elijah did that. You know, they raised the dead. Elisha actually raised 2 dead people, because when he was... Elisha did double the miracles of Elijah, if you ever count them. And the second resurrection Elisha performed, he was already dead and he was in the grave, and he was buried in a cave. His bones were in a cave. And there was a band of people that were, and they, somebody died, and they threw the body into the tomb of Elisha. And when he touched the bones of the prophet, he came back to life. And it's written in the Bible. I'm not sure where it is, but you can look it up, you know. And that was the second resurrection performed by Elisha. And he wasn't even there. I mean, he had already died, you know, and gone to heaven. I mean, but he was so anointed that his bones... God, you know, anointed his bones. Wow. Man, I mean, how would you like to have anointed bones? No knee replacements, no hip replacements, no torn rotator cuffs. So Yeshua's coming back to fight for Israel. He's coming to set foot on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14. Isaiah 2 says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. And the mountain of the Lord will be raised above all the other mountains of the earth in that day." Amen? I tell you, whoever stands with... wherever you stand, stand with Israel. Wherever you stand, whoever you are, stand with Israel. If you want to be on the right side of history, the most important, if you're standing with Israel and you're in the Lord, if you know the Lord and you're standing with Israel, it's good to stand with Israel anyway, but if you know the Lord and you're standing with Israel, that's a good place to be. Amen? That is a good place to be. It doesn't matter what happens to us, you know. God never promised us we wouldn't be persecuted. He never promised us we wouldn't go through tribulation. He never promised us people wouldn't be martyred for their faith. But he did promise paradise to the thief on the cross. Amen? He promised paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, I've said this before. You remember when you were kids, and I don't know if some of you celebrated Christmas, I celebrated Hanukkah, some of you might celebrate Hanukkah, you know, whatever. Remember when you were, you know, 6 or 7 and you looked forward, you wanted a bicycle, you know, and you found it hiding in the garage somewhere, hidden behind something, or some kind of toy, maybe a bow and arrow, or a Barbie doll, or an Easy Bake Oven, you know, or a Light Bright. Am I touching you? Touching the spot, you know what I'm saying? A Barbie collection or G.I. Joe. You know, I used to love those G.I. Joes and the General Custer and his pony, you know, action figures. They were so cool, you know. And I love, you know, man, it was so fun getting, you know, those toys and presents when I got some of the Atari, the first video games that ever came out, the Atari and the little Mattel football and baseball, you know, basketball video games. You used to sit there punching those things away for hours and seeing these little dots moving up and down the screen, you know, for days and hours till 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. I mean, it was wild, you know, how exciting it was. If you knew what awaited you in the kingdom to come, if we had any idea, if the mind could see, if the eye could see and the mind could comprehend, and he says no eye has seen and the mind has not comprehended, because if we could comprehend what awaits us, what paradise, what glory awaits us in the world to come, in the Olam Haba, we'd be like little kids. We'd be so excited about going to the kingdom, going to be with God. When, you know, we wouldn't fear death. We would have no fear of death, you know. And I'm gonna tell you, I've been fighting cancer for about 10 years now, and I've had moments where it's been so rough that I've cried out and said, "Lord, take me." You know, I've said, "Lord, I'm ready to go. Just take me. I have had enough. I have pain and suffering and side effects and horrible, you know, sickness." But then there's times when I don't want to go, you know. There's times when, you know, Lord, I don't want to die. You know, I want to stay. I have kids. I have a wife. I have things I want to do. I have things that you've called me to do, you know. It's funny how we oscillate between fear and faith in our lives. Peter did too. He feared. He was fearful when the Lord was arrested, and yet just a few weeks later he was up there on the temple steps of the southern steps of the temple preaching on the day of Shavuot of Pentecost. He was preaching the gospel at the risk of being arrested by the temple guard, and he didn't care. He had overcome his fear. And he was preaching boldly, and 3,000 were added that day. Amen. So the Lord, it's crystal clear to me when I read Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14 that wherever you stand, stand with Israel. And anyone who stands with the Palestinians, Iran, Hezbollah, and the enemies of Israel is doomed to destruction. Anyone who stands with the Palestinians or the enemies of Israel, Iran, Hezbollah, anyone who wants to destroy Israel, if you stand on the wrong, you'll be found on the wrong side of history, friend, and you're doomed to destruction. So perhaps people should take standing with Israel more seriously, because it means you stand with the Messiah. And if you stand, if you truly stand with the Messiah, I don't see how you cannot stand with Israel, because he's Jewish. He's the Jewish Messiah. He's coming back to live in Israel. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. He's going to rebuild his temple. And he's going to rule and reign. Isaiah 2, he's from the word, the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem in the millennial reign. So, you know, don't you want to be part of that? Stand with Israel. You know, whatever it takes, whatever you have to go through. Wherever I stand with Israel. And I've been bold about my faith. People tell me when I came down here, people were afraid for me because of white supremacists and the Ku Klux Klan. They've never bothered me. They've never given me any trouble. We had one time some graffiti that was questionable whether it was anti-Semitic, and it got in the newspaper on our bagel shop, and we used to own a bagel shop downtown. But that was the only incident I've ever had personally, except they trashed one of our websites and put pornography on it. Somebody hacked it. you know, that's the two worst things that have happened, you know. I got to say, the people around here have been so very nice to me and kind to me and embraced me. And many people have been my friends and are concerned and call me and concerned about my health and welfare and support our ministry. And we're one of only the 20% of Messianic congregations that actually own our own synagogue. You know that? Look at this little group here. We own our own synagogue. Only 20% of congregations. And I love you guys, but I have a feeling, I'm pretty sure you guys don't own the synagogue. It's, you rent it, you know. It's a beautiful synagogue, by the way. But it's rented, you know. Only 20% of Messianic congregations actually own their own synagogue. So this is no palace here, but it's ours. You know, it's not a palace. You're in the Pony Express of Messianic Judaism here. Okay, I mean this is the you know the frontier of Messianic Judaism. That's where you've come today. You see the pine walls and you're in the country, and my guy who usually does the drosh, I mean he has a unique way of saying Hebrew words like Shechem, instead of Pinchas he calls it Pinches, and I love the way he talks because I love Anthony, he's okay. Anthony, if you're watching, I love you. But you know, the way he pronounces things in a southern way, and I used to try to correct it and get it, you know, and I just gave up and said, you know what, it's just southern Hebrew. I just gave up. It's just southern Hebrew, and there's something precious about it. And we love our Anthony, don't we? Yes. Amen. And so he'll be back next week, Lord willing, to do the drosh. And so he's a wonderful man, and we're missing a lot of people today who didn't come, but I think standing with Israel is really the determining factor as to where you are with God. If you really know the Messiah, if you really understand the Bible and prophecy, you'll know that the King of the Jews is Jesus, and he never stopped being Jewish. To know him and to truly know the real, you know, remember that show, Will the Real So-and-So Please Stand Up? Amen. What was that show?
What's My Line?
Will the real, I don't know who can't name a person, but will the real so-and-so please stand up? And they would, no, tell me. Eminem?
The song?
No, there was a TV show called What's My Line. You know, your husband had it. It was called What's My Line, and they had like three guys would sit there, or three gals, and they would talk about, well, this person is a flight attendant, and this person has done ballet, and this person's done all these things, and you know, you had to just pick which of the three was the real one. And then one person would be sitting there, you know, trying to decide which of the three was the real one. And then at the end of the show, the host would say, will the real so-and-so please stand up? And then they would stand up. So then somebody would stand up halfway, then they'd sit down, then the real one would stand up. And it was a great show, you know. It was a good shtick. So anyway, what's my point is that the real Messiah, people have a false image of Jesus, of Yeshua. They have an image of this, you know, this crusader Jesus, you know. Sometimes, you know, I see pictures of him with his long blonde hair and he's got this, he has this mustache. He looks like some, you know, one of the Duke boys, you know. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but I mean, you know, he probably looked more like Woody Allen. You know, the Bible says he had no appearance that we should look upon him, you know, that he was homely. That's what it says. It says it in Isaiah 53. he was homely, you know, that nobody, you wouldn't look at him, you wouldn't notice him. If you saw him in a crowd, unless you knew, by the Spirit, you knew who he was, you'd walk right by him, you know. Unless you were in the Spirit, you wouldn't recognize him in the flesh. And, you know, maybe he looked like Gabe Cotter. I don't know. but probably, you know, probably something more like that. A little darker skin, probably. But anyway, so that's my message today. It's crystal clear. You need to know, folks, who the Jewish Messiah is. You need to learn to know Yeshua. And that's what Messianic Judaism is for. We're here to help you understand the Jewish Messiah. And, you know, it's possible to have a false image of the Messiah, to have an idolatrous image of the Messiah. You can actually believe in a Jesus that isn't real. And there's people that believe Jesus was, you know, there's people that believe Jesus was into homosexuality and all kinds of crazy stuff. And they, you know, they claim to believe in him, but, you know, they don't really know the Yeshua, the Jewish Jesus. And you know, Kurt Schneider, who has that show, Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I mean, I love that name, Discovering the Jewish Jesus. It's a great name. I'm not telling you to go watch the show. I'm just saying, you know, but the name of the show is really discover. We all need to discover the Jewish Jesus. Let's stand up and I'll bless you. And I just want to encourage people, you know, whatever happens, I know the Associated Press has called the election, and whatever happens, just remember, folks, God is in control, and it ain't over till it's over, and the Associated Press doesn't determine who presidents are, you know. So, but even if that's what happens, even if it doesn't go 36 days and go to the Supreme Court, it's usually the Supreme Court who determines it. We'll see. Life will go on, and you will persevere. We shall persevere, and we shall endure. And the Bible says, "Whoever endures to the end will overcome." Excuse me, will rule and reign with the Messiah. Amen. Overcomers, those who endure to the end. So we must be among those. And if I've given a plan, God, we said earlier, God always provides a way out. And if you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, if you're watching, go to our website, www.forzionsake.org. I give a way out that I believe I've seen in prophecy. God always provides a way out. I think I've offered a biblically sound way out. It's called Aliyah, and it's biblical, and it is the way I see God taking us out and hiding us, like He did. He hid the children of Israel in Egypt, in Goshen, in the land of Goshen, during the plagues. And we're told in 1 Corinthians that Moses is our example for those of us upon whom the ends of the age have come. If Moses is our example for the end of the age, then isn't it make sense that God would hide us somewhere in the world? And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, and those who obey when God says, put the blood on the doorposts, you know, isn't it possible that God can do the same thing again? I think so. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem necha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the Lord heal our friend Martha, who has contracted the COVID. She hasn't been here in several weeks, but so don't be nervous about it. But she's come down with COVID, and our friends Martha and Fred are quarantining. So we just pray for Martha today for healing, and that Fred doesn't get it. We pray for the whole family, anybody they've been around, for healing and protection, and that the COVID doesn't spread. And we just give you thanks for them, Lord, and pray your blessings upon Fred and Martha, and that you heal Martha. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we ask this. Amen and amen. We pray for Carolyn, Lord, as she recovers from her root canal and infection in her tooth. We just pray for our friend Carolyn today for strength and healing and recovery. I don't know what's going on with her today, Lord. We pray for Wendell, for his injuries, and a lot of people have been injured and hurt, so we just pray for their healing in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.